Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We begin by acknowledging the Gabigabi people, the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast episode is being recorded today, and pay respects to their elders, past and present, and to their parents with children with disabilities.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F-word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Well, you probably won't hear quite so much swearing among the beans, you know. Well, yeah. Not suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, peas and beans. It's Movember. Not November, Movember. The month where we take a little bit of time to consider men's mental health and to do our best to be aware of some of the issues that men face, men and boys, to open up some conversations, to allow it to become okay to talk about these kinds of things. We thought that we might dedicate just a few shorter episodes through the rest of Movember to conversations about men and men's health, men's mental health, and so on. So I asked a friend of mine who's a counsellor, his name is Ben, working particularly with men and boys and dealing also with the men's suicide helpline, to come in and chat to me in the studio about some of the questions I had about what it is to be a healthy man, a healthy dad, you know, a good dad. And we spoke for about an hour. We're not going to listen to all of that conversation today. I thought because it's quite thoughtful and thought-provoking, it might be better to break it up into three segments, each of about 20 minutes. So today we're doing part one of three. Next Friday and the Friday after, we'll conclude the series. Keep that in mind. It might sound like we're sort of leaving the conversation in midair when we finish. That's because there is more to come. I do want to say that if any of the things Ben and I talk about today trigger feelings within you that you find difficult to cope with, be aware that these days there's no reason why you can't find someone to talk to. We've got Lifeline, we've got the Men's Helpline, we've got Beyond Blue, and I can tell you I've used them. I rang Beyond Blue a couple of times a few years back when I really did not know what to do next. And I've rung Lifeline a couple of times over the years. All I needed was to be able to speak to someone who was neutral, who was objective, and who I felt safe with. And I tell you, it made a difference. So there's no reason for you to hold back if you feel you need to talk about something or if something that we talk about triggers something in you, to reach out to one of those support lines or to a mate or to a family member, somebody that you feel safe with. So Here's a part of my conversation with my good friend, Ben. I do need to say that because this was edited out of a longer conversation, Ben does mention a couple of things here that may seem a little bit out of context, and that's because of the editing process. He mentions the word initiation a couple of times and the term rites of passage. That will be the subject of our next episode. I have to tell you, I've been volunteering at the Queensland Air Museum for the last few months. One day a week I go down there with the guys, I put on the high vis and the steel cap boots, you know, and I'm working with a team that's restoring a Spitfire. Now, this is a lot of fun, and I'm just doing it because it's fun and interesting. But, you know, it's a long time since I've been in that kind of environment. They're all blokes, they're all middle-aged to older in age. And, you know, when you get into that kind of environment, it is a specific kind of place to be. And there's a specific kind of cadence to the speech and the kind of subject matter that gets talked about. And the things that are said there are sometimes, I find, quite excruciatingly difficult to listen to. But what I find, this is what I find interesting. When I get there, I speak in a certain way. And I begin, the longer I'm there, I'm usually there for, you know, 6 or 7 hours. By the time I get to the end of that 6 or 7 hours, I'm speaking in a different way than I usually do. You know, it's fucking this and I'm bloody that and yeah, mate, and there's a lot of yeah, mates going on. And there's a lot of this really specific kind of accent and cadence that comes out when men get together and they're doing a job together. And it's not that I'm trying to pretend to be something that I'm not. It just comes out. You know, I kind of blend in and begin to speak with the same rhythms that they do. It's a very interesting dynamic. And it raises questions to me about how men are with each other. You know, men cop a lot of stick for not being willing to open up, not being willing to share their feelings, not being willing to be honest about things that are difficult to talk about. And, you know, often that's true. And it doesn't help with communication or understanding. But why is it? You know, what leads men to be like that? Is there something fundamentally wrong with men? No, I don't think so. I think there are things that have led men to the place where, in order to get through the day, they learn about what is wise to talk about and what isn't. They learn to keep things to themselves because they find that in the company of other men, and yes, even the company of some of the women who are important in their lives, to talk about these things has led them to painful places in the past, and they just don't want to do it again. So this is not an excuse for men who don't communicate or don't want to share honestly with somebody who's important to them, but it might just help to explain why it happens, and it might just help to open up the possibility for all of us to get beyond the things that might hold us back. Anyway, this episode is entitled What's a Bloke to Do? And here is me talking to Ben. Mate, thank you so much for making some time to talk with me. I would like to just, I mean, neither of us are coming at this as experts on men. God forbid.
Mm.
I mean, we are both.
Who would want to say that?
Well, yeah, exactly. So we happen to be men. I don't know if that helps or hinders, but neither of us claim expertise, except that I guess both of us have done a bit of thinking about this and we've had some experiences that we try to make the most from. So I guess coming from that perspective, I remember when you first told me that you were focusing your counselling work on men and boys. My first thought was, oh, gosh, I can't think of anything worse. You know, like as a primary carer of a disabled child, I spent many years mostly in the company of mums, you know, and very rarely encountered a man in terms of schooling or appointments or therapies or all those kinds of things. And I was eminently comfortable. You know, I always felt comfortable with the mums. Often wondered what that meant about me, what's wrong with me, is that a good thing or a bad thing? But you said you're comfortable with men. Why would you be comfortable with men and I'm not, do you think?
Mm.
What's going on there? Yeah. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Yeah, well, the reality is that that's not always been the case for me. So I suppose that's probably important to point out, is that my sense of comfort around blokes and speaking with blokes is probably been a hard one in some respects. Maybe that's over egging it a little bit, but I think most of my life had a sense of being fearful of men, particularly successful and men in kind of corporate powerful positions. I was sort of terrified of their success and their capacity to just seemingly navigate life so well, you know. And I carried this idea that I was a kind of poor struggling artist that didn't have the goods to kind of match it in that proper macho man world. So I think I for a long time was curious but more just threatened by that sort of bloke. But I guess these days, and through certain experiences, I've come to realize that most blokes are themselves fearful of other blokes, you know, that we're all scared of each other in some ways.
What makes us scared of each other? That's a strange place to be, isn't it?
Mm.
How does that come about, if that's true?
Well, I think we're unsafe. I think we feel unsafe amongst men. I think men typically have been the place where we've been wounded and exposed when we were younger. I think many men have a story of being made a fool of by their mates or by their fathers or and even in front of others, where you've been exposed and made to look a fool, or there's been some kind of experience that exposes your weakness, and there's that sense of that you're a fraud anyway, right? We all often carry that sense that we're hiding what we really are, when we really don't want people to see what we really are, because we're just pretending. We're all just pretending, you know. We're like, oh, gosh.
Except you and me, of course.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We are totally open and honest and courageous.
We've found our way, yeah. We are enlightened a little bit, you know.
Well, so, but why would being made to appear a fool be so devastating? Like, what would it be about being made to appear a fool that is so terrifying?
Mm. Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? So why is it so important for us to come across as being something that we're not? And I guess there's probably some inherent cultural frameworks that we have to abide by as blokes, and the success narrative is a pretty massive part of that. You know, I think we value heroes and people that, and blokes particularly, that overcome and keep going, and you know, the rags to riches story is pretty positive, and then making good out of a difficult situation. So there's, I think, culturally what we prize and what intrigues us is hearing about blokes that are successful. Like, that's just this sort of I'm not sure if it actually intrigues us, but it's what gets a lot of daylight I think the more interesting story, if we really think about it, is the story of the guy that falls apart, you know. So yeah, I guess there's that kind of that kind of cultural push to be seen as successful, and therefore there's value in that, you know. There's value in being because I guess in some ways the way I see it is that our kind of understanding of how any of us are allowed to be here is by what we do, right? We have to kind of earn our stripes. We have to earn our respect. You know, there's all that narrative around you don't just get respected just for being, you know. You have to do stuff.
So the fact of the success isn't the problem, though, is it? Or is it?
I don't think.
So it's our response to that apparent success. And let's be honest, it may not be as successful as it looks. But
yeah.
But even so say it is successful, there's something that evokes within us, other blokes. This is what that you're talking about, isn't it? This sense of not being, not measuring up, not being acceptable, not being good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of interesting because I think I see it happening. So, like, my son's 18 and he's just started this job in a fairly, it's like a big old factory, and it's pretty hard yakka. And he's experiencing this whole game that happens of guys taking the piss out of other guys, and particularly him being the new guy and having to weather this storm of them ridiculing him, and you know, and so he's found himself on the cusp of his adult life, interacting with other blokes that in a way that he's like, he has to armor himself up in the morning. He has to take a deep breath and go, okay, what sort of shit is going to be thrown my way today? And I've just got to, I can't show any sign of weakness. I can't show any signs of that impacting me at all. I've just got to go and just get amongst it and maybe match it with humor or whatever. So that's a little image of maybe a certain young men's experiences when they start interacting in working life. And then I see guys that come to me now in the counselling space who have attained, right? They've built their business, they've got the house and the wife and the kids and the life and the boat and the car and they're like, but it just doesn't seem to mean anything. It's not really the point. And they don't know what the point is. And they say things like, I don't know who I am, or I don't think I want to be this person. I don't want to keep doing this, what I'm doing, for the rest of my life because I'm sick of it. And, you know, so there's a whole lot of meaning that sort of starts getting ripped away.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So then the question for me is, what's the difference between the guy who, like your son you mentioned, he goes to work, he gets hazed all the time, and it's part of the ritual. It's not personal, but it can feel deeply traumatizing, you know, if you're not expecting it, or if it's touching something that you're vulnerable about. What's the difference between the guy who goes through that hazing process and is transformed in a good way, a positive way, and the guy who finds it just destructive, you know?
Well, that's a good question, as in that there are some guys that manage to navigate that, those early life experiences.
In a positive way,
In a way that, it is, yeah, that could be positive for them. I guess for a young man who goes through difficult experiences as a young man and understands and finds a way of appreciating what these hardships mean is in itself an initiation around understanding how you fit in. I guess it's about going, I have a place here.
A place. So everything you describe there sounds like connections to me. So if your connections with something that holds you and reassures you and is a place to go when you need to, if those things are missing, then these experiences are just going to be harmful.
And they can be very destructive. And that sense of belonging, I think that's probably a fundamental experience of a transformative experience, is that sense of feeling like, actually, I really belong on planet Earth, even, if you like. There's like this sense of, I don't have to do anything or be anything to be allowed to and take oxygen and inhabit space on this planet. So there's a sense of belonging and connection that can be within community, but then there's even another level down, a sort of sense of, you know, it's kind of a mystical experience of going, actually feeling connected with nature. And, you know, I don't know if you've had that experience, but it's a sense of, you know, it can happen in nature a lot when there's this, you sort of feel like you take a deep breath and go, I'm just here. I do belong. Part of this. Mm-hmm. And it's this, the fact that you are part of it and you're a small, tiny speck, but you're also precious and you have a contribution and your presence is required. You're here to show up. But initiation, I think, gives us the story that you're not as important as you think you are.
So a young man becomes a dad and has all kinds of expectations about what that means, and which go back to his own experience with his dad and his grandfather and so on and so on, and his desire to be a good dad. And suddenly he faces experiences you mentioned earlier that he was not expecting, things that he can't fix, things that he can't make, that don't seem to be made right. It doesn't mean for a second that he doesn't love his child. In fact, the love for the child is a given, and that's perhaps where the cut comes the deepest, because what do you do when your love for your child is not able to overcome a diagnosis or to give your child the opportunities you had? I've heard about dads talking about, and I had this, I know my son will never drive a car. Mm. You know, what a tiny little example of something that is huge, which is that there are abilities that I have had growing up that he simply does not have. And so that dad suddenly is encountering this challenge, this opportunity, I guess you use the word opportunity, is a sense of belonging then for that dad going to be the thing that would make a difference? Is it as simple as that, do you think?
Yeah, it sounds trite, you know. It's very easy to sound trite in when you're faced with some of life's most difficult challenges. But in some ways, some of the messaging that we want to give to a young man in a rite of passage is things like life is hard. And how do you be with that? How do you hold that and feel truly alive and that it's okay in some part of you? How do you find a way of accepting what has come to you? How are you going to be with this situation right now? What is going to make sense of it? How will you find hope and meaning in this?
So how do we?
How do we? This is the journey. I guess this is what... this is the rub, I suppose, of an initiation experience, is it takes us to the place of unknowing. And unless we inhabit not knowing and not being able to know, not having an ability to fix, and unless we stay in that soup, if you like, we can't know. And it's paradox, if you like. In some ways, you know, there's no way I'm going to come here and say, oh, this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Read my book. Here's six six ways to get through a crisis. It's not the way it happens. I have some guys that see me and week after week we do a deep dive into their story, and at the end one particular guy will say, I don't know what to do though, but I don't know what to do. And it's devastating for a man to admit that they don't know what to do, and that the doing that they've done all their life, for some guys, it doesn't hold any substance anymore. So if the thing that has been their whole meaning loses all its vibrancy and life, and I say to them, you just have to not know right now, they'll want to punch me in the face. But that's what I take that risk, because I think that's what we need to be told sometimes, is you can't know. You can't know, but you can be here because you know this other story, which is that you belong fundamentally. You know, you don't have to do anything. When you have a tiny baby, you don't demand that babies to do anything to have value. And it's that purity of acceptance of a human life in its kind of most distilled sense. That's what we bring to our biggest losses, our most difficult griefs, is a sense of, well, this is exactly where I'm meant to be right now. And yeah, what now?
Just today, just do what's in front of you today. And be who you are today. And we're going to return to this. I wanted to finish by reading a poem. Now, here we go, blokes. As soon as you hear the word poem, I know what you're thinking. All right, let's stop this podcast right now. And you can stop it, that's fine. I just think somebody like Henry Lawson was able to capture in words like very few people the experience of being a bloke, being an Australian bloke, you know, poor old Henry, he was an alcoholic. He had a lot of poverty. He had a lot of hardship, a lot of grief. And he was a sensitive soul who found ways to put his feelings into words from time to time. And what I like about Lawson is that he's writing about the travails and the burdens and the difficulties that he sees in other people, not in himself. He writes about the wife of the shearer who's left alone to raise the children and kill the snakes and deal with the poverty till she gets past caring. He writes about the people marching up and down the street early in the morning and late at night, dragging themselves to work and back and in grinding poverty. He writes about the mine worker who gives his life sacrificing his own safety for his mates when there's a disaster. He always seems to be able to observe the hardships he sees around him through the lens of his own hardships and bring a real touch of humanity. So this is his poem, Men We Might Have Been. When God's wrath cloud is o'er me, affrighting heart and mind, when days seem dark before me and days seem black behind, those friends who think they know me, who deem their insight keen, they ne'er forget to show me the man I might have been. He's rich and independent, or rising fast to fame. His bright star is ascendant. The country knows his name. His houses and his gardens are splendid to be seen. His faults the wise world pardons, the man I might have been. His fame and fortune haunt me, his virtues wave me back. His name and prestige daunt me when I would take the track. But you, my friend, true-hearted, God keep our friendship green. You know how I was parted from all I might have been. But what avails the ache of remorse or weak regret? We'll battle for the sake of the men we might be yet. We'll strive to keep in sight of the brave, the true, and clean, and triumph yet in spite of the men we might have been. Thanks for listening, guys. Good to have you here. We'll talk again soon. Please join me next Friday for the next part of our series through Movember of the Beanosophical conversations we've had with Councillor Ben. What's a bloke to do?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.